That we can be refreshed in your house today, Lord God. And I just thank you that we all get to be together and just enjoy you together. Amen. I am chosen, I am free, I am living for eternity.
Feet on solid ground, yours held forever. You gave everything for me.
How many are here who are happy that God gave everything for you?
Shout. If you know that God is able, let's hear it. Let's give God a shout tonight. He's so amazing and he's so able. Hallelujah. So good. If you know the song, just sing it with me. Sing God.
God is able to do just what he fulfill every promise to you.
See, don't give up.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
He's able.
Come on, if you actually believe it, just give God a shout this morning. If you know for a fact that my God is able, just sing it out.
He's able.
Oh my goodness, I love this song because it's literally testifying. So let's sing this out. See, God is able.
God is able to do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill. don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God. To do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise.
Just give them the praise. Jesus. Just begin to thank him out of your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
Goodness, let us become more aware. Yeah. just sense in the spirit that God wants to touch a lot of aches and pains today. A lot of them you just think that they're yours and you need to give them back. Amen. I'm just going to name off on a few of them. I need you to understand how I move in the word of knowledge is I literally feel it. And I don't like feeling them. So I'm just going to tell you what they are. Somebody on your left knee, on the outside of your knee, you're having problems right in here. There's pain. There's another individual, your second toe on your left foot from your big toe. So number two, God's healing that. There's another person, you're having a lot of weakness in your shoulders. It almost feels like you know there's something wrong. And God is restoring you in the name of Jesus. I speak strength to God, the cause of it, I curse in Jesus' name. Here's a peculiar one. There's a pain just above the left, excuse me, it's in the left eyebrow, above your eye. I don't know what that is. I don't care. In Jesus' name, we speak healing. There's another individual. Feels like someone socked you on the right side of the face, from the ear to the eye, the globe of the eye, all the way to the nose, all the way down to about center chin. God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. Lord, even small aches and pains, you care about every single one of us. Sometimes, God, just to show us how much you know about us. There's another individual, you recently found out you have a spot on your liver. God is removing that spot and the cause in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're doing that in our bodies. Lord, you not only came to set us free from sin, but you came to set us free from sickness and disease. Lord, you also came to set us free from poverty. Lord, we just rebuke, God, all that the devil would try to bring on us that Jesus, you already redeemed us of. God, I pray the joy of the Lord, that is our strength, will well up within our spirit. Father, that we'll be known as a happy church. God, that we'll be seen, Father, by the world as people that have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in the midst of our trial, God, we can look and laugh because we know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Father, we're not just going to make it. We're going over the top because, God, you live inside of us. We thank you, Lord, that this is not just hope, but, God, this is faith in a God that is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Someone's having weakness in your back. Now, let me explain. It's right at the base of your back, and it starts over on your right-hand side, where I usually call it a hitch in your giddy-up, and it swings on over. And God is healing that as well. Father, I speak to back problems in the room in the name of Jesus. God, I speak to discs. Hear me now in Jesus' name. That's right. You've got to listen. I command the bodies right now to hear the word of the Lord. I command discs to be restored. I command bulging to be brought back to normalcy. I speak to right now the very muscles of the back. God, I command them right now to strengthen in Jesus' name. Vertebrae, if you have started to break down, I command right now new bone to be set by the hand of God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are able, Lord, and that you love us. Someone's index finger, you have arthritis at the very knuckle of the index finger on your left hand side. God is healing you. You asked God, and that's why he heard you. And God is healing you right now. Someone else, you're having a problem with your big toe on your right side. God is healing. You see, what happens is when the word of knowledge starts to happen, if you start asking the Father, he'll start telling me. The more he tells me, the more I can tell you, which simply means now you know God is listening to you. Amen. It's powerful to recognize the gifts of God are to encourage the body that God is able to do abundantly. He loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you this morning. Tell somebody else he cares about every little thing. Not just the big things, all the little things. He loves you, cares for you. He's listening to you. He is a good God. Can you shout out loud, my God is good? While on your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least five folks and say, my God is good. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know this morning. You want to be a friend? You got to be friendly.
Don't let me go, Rose.
Yo, dog. It was alright, but, you know, there was a couple things that, you know, you probably could have done differently. Like, y'all should have cried. Like, you know, when she let you go, like, I would have cried.
I just don't think I totally agree with what he said there. I could just really feel your heart. And it's a sweet one. No, really. Seriously, girls. Keep doing what you're doing.
I honestly don't know if that was comedy or if that was a drama. Paula, have you been drinking again?
No.
Seriously, you must have had a wild night out because you are either blind or absolutely have lost it. It was so bad that honestly, your trip to his tabernacle, you're not even getting it. The audio person has done a better job than you did. That was absurd. Congratulations, you're going to his tabernacle.
Hey, AC family. If you guys know anything about me, I do not want to do this. But I love you guys, so here we go. On October 31st, we have Harvest Fest coming up. It's our annual celebration, and...
Hi.
You are so annoying.
Howdy, partner.
Wow, you are so white. We are so excited for Harvest Fest coming up. October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m., from 6 to 7, we're going to have some awesome games inside. From 7 to 8 p.m., we have our annual trunk or treat. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have a trunk. This weird guy, he's going to have a trunk. Pastors are going to be making donuts. You do not want to miss it. So don't forget, October 31st, 6 to 8 p.m., here at His Tabernacle Family Church.
We'll see you there. We want to remind you about Next Steps classes. We got Step 1 with Rock Solid Faith. We're going to get that started actually in the beginning of November instead of October. Step 2, we got Marriage class happening starting October 24th. Again, those classes are at 7 p.m. And then also Step 3 happens on Thursday night at 7 p.m. with Kingdom Principles. So make sure you get in a Next Steps class today.
Ladies, the next Women's Encounter is coming up November 2nd through the 4th. There's only 8 spots available, so make sure you sign up today. Money is due by October 15th. There's $325 due in order to go. So make sure, ladies, you sign up today.
Good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? I love that our God has a sense of humor, don't you? And thank God that he's created others that have one as well. It's so good to be with people that love God with all their heart, their mind, and their soul, and also know how to have a good time, love one another, and honor him in the process. So what I'd like to do is just welcome our guests this morning. We want to thank you so much for coming out and worshiping our King of all Kings and Lord of all Lords with us. If you are a guest in this house this morning, we would like you to raise your hand because we have a gift for you that we would like to bring to you. Are there any guests this morning? One right over here. Oh, one right in the back section over here. Any other guests? We have one up front. Other guests this morning? Great. Thank you so much for coming together with us. We're excited about the word that God has planned for you. We also would like to welcome our live stream. God is so good to give us many avenues to reach those that he has a heart for. So thank you so much for putting him first in your morning, starting your day with him, and joining us as a part of his tabernacle family. We have many opportunities available for you to get involved at His Tabernacle. One of Pastor's favorite sayings is, don't be a slug. And so we want you to get up off of your seat, build relationships outside of Sunday service, get involved in ministry for the kingdom. It is contagious. And once you get a taste for ministering and serving God, our King, you will never want to walk away from that. So Matthew 25, which is such a blessing to our students on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights. They always need volunteers in the kitchen to help cook, also to help serve food with the many, many children that really could use some people that were willing to build relationship with them. You'll get an opportunity to sit at the table, talk with them, pray with them, speak the word of God over their life to them. We are also looking for teachers or helpers in our RAW ministry, which is the 3rd through 6th grade on Wednesday nights. We also need it for kindergarten to 2nd grade. So if you would like to participate in ministering the word of God to these children, we would like you to actually see me for that and see Tammy Sumi if you'd like to help out with Matthew 25. We just want to change our region, and we cannot do it without your help. These children are in the trenches every single day, and we are the only light that they will see. And they love the word, and they're growing from the word. So we'd like to invite you to get involved with that. His kids on Sunday mornings, our kids are not just future ministers. Some of them are ministering today. We have a child in his kids who led 7 people to Jesus last week. What did you do with your week last week? Okay? So we need some powerful people that have a love and a passion for kids. They are ministering today. Let the children lead them, right? So we want to be involved with them. Men's Bible study, women's fellowship, young adults, get involved today. Visit the hub if you are interested in participating with any of those ministries. Also, we have a morning prayer line. Oh, there is something to be said about seeking the Lord early in the morning while he may be found. Start your day on the right foundation, the right principles. You don't even have to talk. You just dial the number and it's automatically muted. So you can sit there, lay in bed, whatever you need to do, drink your coffee and just absorb the power of God. Start your day in agreement with corporate prayer with a body of powerful, supernatural people. I guarantee your day will be changed. That's Monday through Thursday from 6:15 to 6:30. Look in your bulletin for more information. On that note, I'd like to turn this over to Pastor Rhonda. There's a lot of stuff going on in our church.
As if that wasn't enough, did you even say senior breakfast tomorrow morning?
Senior breakfast tomorrow morning. Be there.
If you're over 50 years old, it's a great time to get out and fellowship with the pastors. So tomorrow morning at Cracker Barrel at 9 a.m. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, while we were singing this morning in worship, we sang that song, I Surrender All. And as the words came out of my mouth, I actually chuckled because in comparison to what God does in return, oh, I more than willingly surrender everything to him, because the return that he gives, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The blessing, the favor, the joy, the peace, everything that he gives in return is so great in comparison to whatever I have to surrender. So it's worth surrendering every aspect of our life to get the return of what God has. And you know, his word says in Psalms that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. It's his great joy that we get to walk in his promises and his blessings. It's what makes the Father happy. So as we're in this time of tithes and offerings, Malachi 3 talks about how will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? And you say, in what way have I robbed you? And he says here, this is the word of God, in tithes, the word tithe is a tenth and 10%, and offerings. And it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And the part that God's heart is, not that you've robbed him and stole, you've stolen his pleasure. His pleasure is that you walk in blessing and prosperity and joy and peace and love. That's what his joy is for every single one of us. And then it says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open
desire to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on his sons and daughters that obey. So why wouldn't we surrender all, everything, every aspect of our lives, even our giving to his word? Because it's for our blessing, for our prosperity. You know, when we come into the house of God and the presence of God, we get to leave this place changed and transformed. We get to leave with the blessing and the favor and the as sons and daughters of God, we get the privilege of all of his promises when we obey his word. So why wouldn't we do that? Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the word of God. And these are his promises when we obey in the tithe and offering. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Shout it out, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can get right along with us. Click on the giving button or text to give.
Good? I don't know about you. I'm happy. Turn to someone and say, I hope you're happy. You know, some people are always just miserable. They need a bath in the love of Jesus. Amen? You know, I like the fact that God has not called us to be just wimpish little people that walk around always in defeat, but we are truly successful people. God has greatness for your life. We want to welcome all those. We have Dave and his beautiful bride all the way from South Carolina. Amen. My aunt from Massachusetts and my aunt from Vermont are here. Who else has traveled a long ways? How many here have traveled at least 2 hours to church? Our visitor? 2 hours. Oh, that's right. My daughter is here from Florida. How many travel an hour and a half to church? One. This young lady over here. No, your wife does not travel an hour and a half. How many travel an hour to church every single Sunday? Look at all the hands that are go up on the hour thing. A lot of hands for the hour. I just want to thank you for being faithful to God for the vision. Amen? The vision is that God will change lives. We just got a great opportunity, and I want to bring it to you. We're not asking you to do anything but pray, because that's all we're going to do is pray. Is that fair? We just had one of the TV stations on Dish Network, a national Christian station, come to our church. We did not go to them. Came to our church and offered us a national spot, actually be an international spot, 50 million viewers for Dish Network. That's where we'll be launching out of. And so I just think it's very peculiar. You know, it just makes me chuckle. Even if we never do it, what makes me happy is they came to the cow field of Horseheads, New York. Isn't it cool to recognize that God has given us, really just given us national opportunities, international opportunities to share the gospel with people. So I want you to pray about that. And let's just ask God to give us wisdom. Amen. We want to be wise. This is not our money. This is God's money. Can I hear an amen? Let's say it one more time. This is not our money. It's God's money. And so even as the pastors, we don't run around and just do whatever we want. We want to make sure it's God's will that we do. Can I hear an amen? And I just want to give God praise. You see up there thermostats every single week. And I want to thank God. A gentleman has recently donated his Harley-Davidson motorcycle to be sold to give to the Generous campaign this year. And I just want to thank God. Can we thank God for speaking to people's hearts about the vision of God? The one thing you'll always find is that in this house we do ask for finances. And the reason we do that is because we're doing something. If you're not doing anything, you don't need to ask for anything. It really is true. You know, this summer, I just want to give you a shout out to the Lord, how much of a blessing you are. Just in the month, 1 month, in 30 days, we did the Uproar, and we also did Rock the City. And whether many people realize that, that's $100,000. That was above our normal tithes and offerings that folks blessed and gave to the kingdom so that souls could be saved. And I just want to thank God that you are a visionary church, serving a visionary God and propelling God's vision to save souls. Can you turn to someone next to you and say, thank God for you. So I just want to thank the Lord for the gentleman who donated the motorcycle, and we're going to get that thing sold and be able to put it towards the kingdom. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. Can you give God a hand clap, one more hand clap this morning for provision? I want to talk to you this morning. What do I do if I fall or fail? The very first question I want to ask everybody in the room is, who here is perfect? If you are, please leave. You're not allowed in this building. We allow no perfect people here. Is that fair? Somebody once said to me, well, I'm not going to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, exactly. What do you mean? Well, I'm not going to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, duh, there are people there. Every single one of us fall or stumble. Every single one of us have issues in our lives. How many have one issue in your life? How many have two issues in your life? One you don't want anybody to know about. Just ask the person next to you, what is it? What is it? No, I'm just kidding. Mind your business. The truth is that nobody is perfect in this room. And let's be real. You know, we all want to grow in God. We all want to mature in God, or you wouldn't be taking the time to be here in this room. But the truth is that no matter how much you desire to, there are times that you make foolish choices. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We all make foolish choices. We all do dumb things. We all do things, if we could go back and hit rewind, we would. How many remember cassette tapes? You know, you hit play, and you hit record, and then you hit rewind. You can't hit rewind in life. How many of you recognize it? You can't change what you've done, but you can change where you're going. Can I hear an amen? You see, that's the awesome part about our God. He doesn't keep you tethered to your past. He always launches you to your future. I love my God. How many here have ever sinned? If not, you just did. All right. How many here have sinned once? How many of you here have sinned twice? How many here have sinned since you gave your heart to Jesus? How many here have fallen? I mean, talking like you didn't trip, you like landed on your forehead and bounced three times. Man, you struggled. Yes, how many of you here have ever failed? You had your heart set. You were going to serve God in this way, and you just absolutely failed. If you could go back and change it, you would do it, but you can't. You know, how many here have ever compromised before? What's compromise? Compromise means you know the right way, but it's not that you're sinning, but you choose not to follow all the way because you want to make yourself happy or somebody else. Compromise is very powerful. In fact, in the believer's life, compromise is one of the most dangerous things in our life, in our walk with the Lord. So what do I do when I fail, fall, or compromise? What do I do when this comes into my life? What do I do when I look at myself and I'm disgusted? Has anybody here ever been disgusted with your own life? I'll ask that one more time. Has anybody here ever been disgusted? I'm talking after Jesus. I'm talking after you've really started serving the Lord. You went out for the weekend, and you were hanging out with your friends, and you said, I'm only going to have ginger ale. And the ale came, but the ginger left. And then you were ailing the next morning. It's a lot of ale in this place. And you look back and you saw the effects of your life. You saw that it turned people off from Christ. You saw that it compromised your position in their life while being able to share the gospel. In your own heart, you said you weren't going to do that anymore. And then you're back at the doorstep. You've fallen. You've failed. You've compromised. What do I do? And I'll tell you what many people do. Many people, this is the crossroads in their life when they literally walk away from Jesus. They give up on themselves. But I want you to know, God will never give up on you. I want you to know that God believes in you, that Jesus is after you. It's not just that you're after him. He's after you, and he loves you with an everlasting, uncompromising love. Shout it out loud. This is the year of... This is the year of... Come on. This is the year of... We are... You can't get anything better than generous mercy. Man, that means you're not getting what you deserve. How many of you are glad you're not getting what you deserve? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For Jesus became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The truth is that everything we deserve, we're not getting as long as we have Jesus in our life. Without Christ in our life, we will get exactly what we deserve. Because the wages of sin, the fact is that somebody has to pay that bill. You can't go to a restaurant, order your food, walk away, and no one pay the bill without going to jail. And the fact is that somebody who does not know Jesus as their Savior, a bill still has to be paid. That is the bill of sin. For the wages of sin is death. It's not just natural death, it's spiritual death. The Bible calls it the second death. And I want you to know, that is not God's heart towards you at all. Man, you've been created in his image. You've been created in his likeness. God loves you. He is passionate for you. Let me tell you, there is nobody more passionate than Jesus. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. He loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. There's a verse I want you to look at with me, and it's found in the book of Luke chapter 22. Some of you have heard it before, and that's okay. Because sometimes we just need to be reminded, especially as we're walking with our walk with the Lord. You know what I have found is that when you're a young believer, you still do the stupid things you did sometimes that when you weren't saved. Amen. But if you've been saved 20, 30 years, you're not ailing anything. You're not running around getting drunk. You're not running around cussing and swearing. But you know there are things. Listen, I don't care how many years you've been in the gospel. There's always something God is working out of you. And the day he stops working it out of you, you should get concerned. Because it means you're either Jesus yourself. Hello, you're not. Or you're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit always wants to work things out in our life. You see, whether you're out there ailing or whether you're a believer that's holding bitterness that nobody can see, it is just as much sin as the ale. And if you have bitterness, you're going to be ailing soon. You see, and this is where, as believers, we've got to pay attention, because this falling thing, this faltering thing, this compromising thing isn't running around doing gross sin, that some would say, but it could be those silent things that are in our life that nobody knows about, that we struggle with. The Bible says that there is a sin that so easily besets us. And those are the sins that today, that's what disembarks people from the vision that God has for them. They're striving, they're struggling, they're moving forward, and then they keep falling. They'll make it a month, and then they'll fall. They'll make it 3 months, and then they'll fall the same month, and they get discouraged with themselves and say, I guess I can't make it. I guess that stuff doesn't work for me. And I want you to know, God's word always works, and we've got to get back to the word of God. Fill ourselves so that we can be strong even in the midst of the trial. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now, how many of you know Peter was a great guy? Peter in the Bible is one of the most amazing examples. If you've never studied the life of Peter, he's great to study, because you and I can all identify him with him really, really, really good. Peter didn't float. Peter didn't even hum. Peter had horrible problems in his life. He was a phenomenal man of God, but with this verse where we're going to read, Peter has been saved for many years. He's been walking with Christ for many years. And this is what it says. And the Lord, that means Jesus, said to Simon, 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 indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, this is important, because this shows us that Peter, who'd been walking with whom? So we're not talking like he was walking in the year 2000, where you might not have ever met him physically. But I'm talking like Peter walked with Jesus. Peter hung out with Jesus. Peter hung out in Jesus' house. Peter, man, he was there when the miracles, the signs and wonders, he was there. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, the devil tries and wants to sift you as wheat. Listen, this is what I want you to do. When you get up, now that's encouraging, isn't it? But what he was showing us is, it doesn't matter how much you've been close to Jesus. The fact is at times we make stupid choices. Now, I've got great news for you, and that is that when we sin, we can understand this one truth, is that sin as a believer, once you've been born again, sin is different from somebody who does not know Christ. Somebody who does not know Jesus, it is their nature to sin. That's why I don't get upset when people dropping the F-bomb around me who don't know Christ. And you know, why is it shocking you that they steal? Why is it shocking to you that they're cheating on their spouse? Why is it shocking to you that they're getting drunk every weekend? Why are you shocked? That's their nature. That's who they are. The Bible says they're following the father of their nature. And that's found in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Who's the nature? That is the enemy. The enemy is a liar. Why are you shocked when sinners lie? It's normal. But when you've been born again, can I hear an amen? There is a nature change in your life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now Christ has empowered you. You see, the truth is that God can never tempt you. Only the devil can tempt you or yourself. I want you to know, the greatest tempter in your life is not the devil. The greatest tempter in your life is you. Turn to someone and say, it's all about me. Oh, you've seen the bumper sticker, the devil made me do it. Yeah, you made yourself do it far more than the devil. The truth is that you and I are our greatest enemies. We are the ones who choose to sin. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, I don't have time to go through all the verses, Romans chapter 6, it says that you and I have been given power over sin, 6 verse 22, and now have been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You see, the moment you accepted Jesus, the power of slavery to sin was now broken. Slavery means you have a master. You're no longer mastered by sin, but you've been given power within so you can overcome every fiery dart, every temptation of the devil. We know the devil won't, God will never tempt you with sin. So we know it's either ourselves or the devil. But the fact is that usually sin is generated, as we see in James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God can tempt nobody by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But we're tempted by our own lusts, our own desires, our own passions. And when we let it sit in our head long enough, we then give it authority over our thoughts, and we are tempted. Temptation that is matured brings forth sin. You see, the greatest one that we have to pay attention to is ourselves. The greatest deceiver is ourselves. We can deceive ourselves into believing what we're doing is right when it is absolutely wrong. There's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. But the Bible wants you to recognize that sin, every time that we sin after we've been born again, it's by choice. Every one of us have chosen to sin. Pastor, I thought this was going to be encouraging. Hang on. But you got to know where the problem is. You got to know how to address so that you don't keep falling. Now listen, now I had to laugh at my wife last night. No, she deserved it. We have this rug, this welcome rug in our house. And we're in the man cave and she's walking to the kitchen and I hear thush, doo-doo-doo-doo. And I said, you all right? She says, well, I tripped over the welcome mat. And I said, She said, my socks stick to the welcome mat. I said, okay. Well, you know, that's one time. You know, that's pretty cool. That just means, listen, you're careful when you go over the welcome mat again, right? Oh, no. Not too long after that, she's walking out to the kitchen to get Sophia a popsicle. And I hear, I said, you okay? She said, the welcome mat. And I'm thinking in my head, it's not the problem of the welcome mat. You can't blame your socks. You already did it once. You know your socks stick to the welcome mat. Go around. Here we are as believers. We know the devil doesn't have more power than us. We know that sin can't control us. But we keep going over his welcome mat. And then we want to blame the devil. Whoop. We want to blame the socks. You should either remove it or go around it. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So the fact isn't that she was tripping over the mat. But now that you have, what do you do about it? See, this is the big part where people struggle because self-condemnation is just intense. And you know, the Bible says, for there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, you see, you wouldn't feel condemnation if you're walking after the Spirit. But because you were tripping over the welcome mat, you have to pay attention. So the fact isn't that you always fall. The fact is that you will fall. But what do you do when that happens? How do you not beat the stuffing out of yourself? You know, I see people walking around all the time. I'm talking believers. They're walking around with a big bat in their hand going like this. Doosh, 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 doosh. They got welts here and welts. Doosh, 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 doosh. Taking a bat, just beating their brains in. And I'm looking at them and saying, what are you doing? And they said, well, I just keep struggling. I just keep sinning. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And you know what the problem is? They're beating themselves up instead of going to get help where help comes from above. You've got to recognize you can't fix yourself by beating yourself up, because if you had the ability to overcome the sin, then you would have already done it. And this is, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God has given you power over sin. He's given you power over that problem, and it's time to pay attention and stop walking over the welcome mat. By talking about Peter, man, it just breaks it down really easy. This guy, Peter, man, he was a passionate dude. Come on, you know he's passionate. How do you know he's passionate? When they came for Jesus in the garden, what did he do?
Well, I hope they don't take you.
No, he whipped out his sword and he hacked off the ear of one of the people coming to take Jesus. And he wasn't even sad about it. He didn't go, I feel such great conviction. He just lobbed the dude's ear off. He was passionate. He was aggressive. He was one that was a leader. He was outspoken. He didn't have foot-mouth disease. He had knee-mouth disease. Glory to God. He was a larger-than-life kind of guy. I'm talking when he walked into the room, people drew attention to him. Why? Because he was big. I'm talking he was anointed. I'm talking powerful. I'm talking Jesus called him Petra, the rock upon this kingdom. I will start and build my kingdom. He was a powerful man. He was a businessman. He owned ships. He was a successful fisherman. He had his own company. He had his own employees. He was a powerful man. And you know what? He was loyal. He was so loyal to Jesus. When he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, he left his company. He walked away from his business, and he walked away from his family. How do we know he had his family? Remember, Jesus healed his mother-in-law? That means he had a wife. They didn't use contraceptives back then. 1 + 1 = 4 sometimes. It could be today, Lauren, right? We could have a new baby in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Today, it is so important for us to recognize that Peter was this dude who is like, you would look at him and say, wow, he's like that biggest evangelist who's doing great and mighty things for Jesus. Wow! You got to give it a little wow. Do you remember what he said to Jesus? He said in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. You know, he even pulled the death. Who would ever have thought? Whether it was pride or sheer confidence, the fact was is he never believed he would ever turn his back on Jesus. He never believed that he would fail. He never believed that he would fall. He never believed that he would be disloyal. He never believed that he would walk away. He never believed it. It was nothing that even brought a thought into his mind. He was one that was confident. I'll die with you, Jesus. I'll go to jail with you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what the cost. I'm going all the way. But that's not what happened. How many of you can identify with Pete? I took the R off. Because sometimes you got to realize he was a real man who put on a real skirt. Back in those days, he didn't wear jeans. Bible starts talking about it. He's convinced. And Jesus is being crucified. And what happens is that little girl comes up and says, don't I know you? Weren't you like Jesus? Nope, I don't know him. Man, you know that he's got to feel conviction. You know that it's got to bother him. But it didn't stop there. Some of you say, well, you know, I'm smarter than Peter. Really? I wish we all were. How many of you have sinned once? The same sin. How many of you have sinned the same sin once? Well, everyone's got to go up with that one. How many of you have sinned the very same sin twice? How many of you have sinned the very same sin three times? How many of you have sinned the very same sin 532 and 26.3? It's not that you run around going, yay, I did it again. But whether it's because it's that sin that so easily besets us, or whether it's because we have not moved the mat or walked around the mat, the fact is that now we're faced with the reality that we have fallen, not once, not twice, but three times. And then there was a shift in the you know, it says the rooster crowed. Listen, I know it's going to mess up with a lot of religion, but it wasn't talking about a rooster. Ah! The rooster crowing was a shift in the guards. Chickens were not allowed in Jerusalem at that point in time of history. Well, amen. So here we are, all of a sudden, Peter, he three times denies Jesus. I'll die with you, Jesus. I'll go to jail for you. Now he denied him three times in public. And what happened? Listen, this is the most powerful thing that you and I got to get a hold of. Luke chapter 22, verse 61 and 62. And the Lord turned. So here it is. Jesus is being tried. He's had the snot kicked out of him. Man, he's been beat up. He's been spat upon. And he's at trial. And all of a sudden, Peter denies Jesus three times. And what happens? Jesus turns and looks at him. Dude, you want to talk about melting? Now we got to talk about this. Because religion, even our own mindset, makes us think, yeah, he turned and looked at him. He was telling him, told you so. If you'd have listened to me, man, you wouldn't have made that bad decision. Listen, Peter, look into my eyes. You did this. You're bad. You're wrong. You're condemned. That's not his eyes at all. When Jesus, in the middle of that trial, looked at Peter, the eyes that he was dying on the cross for came through. I love you, Peter. Remember the word I spoke to you. You're going to deny me three times. The devil wants to sift you as wheat. But when you get up, when you get up, when you get up, encourage the brethren. Don't stay down, Peter. Don't lay down, Peter. Don't give up, Peter. Don't walk away, Peter. When you get up, shout, ah, it's time to get up. You see, here we have Jesus looking at Peter, and the man, Peter, has to come to a reality. The Bible says that he went away and wept bitterly. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you have ever sinned where it just gripped you so desperately? Man, you wish you hadn't done that. Man, you felt nasty. You felt gross. You felt dirty. You said, man, if I could ever change that, I would. And you sat back and some of you cried. Some of you just got quiet. And some of you started making decisions. Here's a very interesting. You ready? This is very interesting. I don't understand this. Maybe this happened to Peter. It doesn't talk about it, so I'm just going to tell you. But you know what's amazing in the church world is that when somebody does that, they think everybody knows about it. The only one who knew about this was John. And if he went back to the other disciples saying, hey, man, Peter, like three times, that's called gossip. And you know John wasn't into gossip. He was called the beloved. Isn't it wild that many of us think that the moment we've sinned and nobody else really knows anything about it? Nobody knows, but the devil whispers in our ears. Everybody knows. When you go to church Sunday, everybody knows what you've done. Everybody thinks what you, come on now. They're going to think less of you. They're not going to think of you the way they used to. You're, oh, come on now. You're just a loser. Do you know what's amazing? What I love about a large church, people tell me all the time, well, I don't like this church. It's too big. Listen, I'd rather have a big church than a small church. Small church, everybody knows your business. Listen, I grew up in a small town. Everybody knew our business in that small town. I liked it when I moved to Providence. They'll run you over, and they still don't even know your name. Being in a larger congregation, what's amazing is that you can hide. And when you're struggling, instead of running, you could say, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be loyal. And I don't care if anybody knows what my problems are. This one thing I know, I've got to go where the problem maker, excuse me, the problem helper is. And the Bible says that if I go to the house of the Lord, there's strength in the house of God. There's strength in the body of Christ. The corporate anointing has more than less. And it's time to start shifting our minds. Who cares if everybody knows? But I guarantee you, you know what's really funny is somebody will go to counsel with my wife. And they'll come to me and they'll go, well, I know you know. And I'll go, well, your wife talked to you, didn't she? Well, no. We don't talk. You mean you and your wife don't talk about my troubles? No. I love you, but they're your troubles. I'm praying with you. I'm praying for you. I'll counsel you with the word of God. But those are yours, not mine. Because if I took on all your trouble, I wouldn't stand here. I'd be dead. My wife and I don't sit around and talk, but everyone thinks everybody talks. Listen, people don't talk here. Well, everyone knows. Nobody knows. Get it out of your head. If you don't have issues, you have issues. If you're perfect, you're a liar. We all got those places where we fall and we falter. And this was Peter's. He denied. He never thought he would. He was this loyal dude who was willing to cut off an ear, ready to go to jail, ready to get beat, ready to be cast aside. Jesus, 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 when he looked at him, he said, Peter, listen, he said it with his eyes because he'd already said it with his mouth. Peter, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You're not alone. I'm not casting you aside. I'm not throwing you away. Come on now, Peter, when you get up, oh, it's time to get up, Peter. It's time to get up. Stop looking down at yourself. Stop tearing yourself down. Stop being self-destructive. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the author and the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. How many of you at times find you get stuck with G, but God sees you at your Z, and it's time to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you see me completed, not with all my problems, and I choose to see myself even the way you do. Oh, God, I thank you that I choose to get up. Shout, get up. I can't hear you. Tell the devil, I'm going to get up. So what do I do? What do I do? Well, the Bible says that Peter went away and wept bitterly. What does that mean? That means you got to have godly sorrow. What's godly sorrow? I'm sorry. No. How many of you have ever been sorry because you got caught? Sorry isn't godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is saying, like David said, against you and you only have I sinned. See, it doesn't matter who's in the room with you. It doesn't matter who you sinned with. You can't pay their price. You can't pay their bill at the end of the night. Every one of us stand alone in judgment. For it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then the judgment. We stand alone, and we've got to recognize that this is the truth, that we have to say, God, this is me. Lord, I'm going to have to give an account for my own words and my own works. Lord, what is it in my life? God, when I fell, I just want you to know that it's not that I got caught, but I'm sorry. I'm sincerely against you and you only have I sinned. That's David's relationship with God that he procured while he was tending the sheep and saving the sheep from the bear and the lion. It's that relationship that he had with him. You see, God desperately desires a relationship with you, that when we step out of line, it is not that beating of the stick, but it's Jesus looking at us and us saying, oh God, I'm sorry for wounding you. I'm sorry for hurting you. Against you and you only, God, have I sinned. You see, when we recognize this, it's forgiveness. It's a different level type of forgiveness. Some of us say forgiveness because we don't want to go to the lake of fire, which is smart. But
But that's not what forgiveness is about at all. That's not why Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price so we could have a relationship with the Father. And sin is that separator in relationship. And Peter had this godly sorrow. He was overwhelmed with sorrow. I'm sure that guilt gripped him. But the one thing that he came to some kind of recognition of, that word that Jesus gave him, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm not destroying you. I'm not tearing you down. Get up, Peter. Get up, Peter. Get up, Peter. Get up. Get up. Come on now. I'll help you up. Get up. I don't care what it takes. Get up. Stop laying down on the ground. Stop being the person that's defeated. Stand up. If you ask forgiveness, I'll wash your sins away. I'll throw your sin as far as the east or the west and remember it no more. I'll make you pure. I'll make you holy. It's time to recognize that God loves you more than we even love ourselves. Almost done. Shout, get up. Turn to someone and say, get up. If they have halitosis, just say, please, say it on the side. You got to ask forgiveness. I got to tell the story. I just wasted 10 seconds. One day, when I was a young man, very young, 22, 23 years old, I was going to preach a revival in Pennsylvania. And I got on a bus in Worcester, Massachusetts, and the bus took me to Connecticut, to Hartford. And as I was in Hartford, a guy sat behind me in Hartford, and we're on our way to New York City to the hub to disperse down to Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so here I am, I'm on the bus from Hartford to New York, and a guy behind me says, hey, sit with me. And I said, okay, you know, I'm a friendly kind of guy. So I got up and I sat with him, and he goes, listen now, I'm going to New York City for the weekend. Listen, I'll pay for everything if you want to go with me. I'm from the country. But the bells went off. Ding, 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 ding. He doesn't want to show me the Statue of Liberty. And I said, hold on now. And I got in my chair in front, and I grabbed my Bible, sat down with him. And I said, sir, I'm not sure if you realize it, but that is a sin. And the Lord says that, you know, the wages of sin is death. And I start sharing the gospel with him. And he goes, no, you don't understand. He said, I was going to be a Catholic priest, and I decided not to. But he said, you know, when I get done with every one of my lovers, I kneel down beside the bed, and I ask God to forgive me. And I said to him, no, you don't understand. You're not repenting. You're saying sorry. Repentance is turning from your sin. You see, when there's true godly sorrow in this relationship, you cannot continue to stay in the sin without conviction overwhelming you. And when conviction is no longer there, baby, that's when you need to be concerned. When the conviction is lifted, it means your heart is getting hard. And God, you see, Peter, this tough dude, this tough fisherman, when he sinned, he broke down weeping and crying because he recognized that he hurt the Father who he loved the most. Listen, you've got to repent, not just say, I'm sorry. The second thing you got to do is you got to forgive yourself. You know, there are some people that have given up on God because, honestly, they just can't forgive themselves. What they did, they cannot forgive. God's already forgiven them. And genuinely, God washed their sins away. Genuinely, every time they bring it up before God, he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I distinctly remember forgetting that. But they cannot allow themselves to be healed. They cannot allow themselves to be forgiven. They know what they did, and they hold it over their head. They beat themselves down. They torment themselves. And God is saying, it's time to set yourself free. It's time to forgive yourself. It's time, if I can forgive you, you can forgive you. If I can set you free, you can set yourself free. If I can put it in the past, you can put it in the past. It's time to move forward. Can I hear an amen? And then, sometimes you just got to remove the mat. Some of you keep struggling with the same sins because you keep going back to the same places. You know, I hate to tell you, but some of you got to get rid of some of your friends. We teach our kids that. Well, I'm trying to be this, I'm trying to be that, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, but you're hanging around with the people that aren't. Jesus was a friend to sinners, but he wasn't having relationships with his friends, with those guys. He was ministering to them, but he wasn't like buddies. Listen, God's not telling you to get rid of your friends. They need Jesus too. But the fact is that if they're bringing you down, it's time to put distance between you and them. You don't take an alcoholic and put them behind the bar. You don't take somebody who struggled with crack and put some coke in front of them and say, I hope you're strong enough. You don't have a porn problem and go to Hugh Hefner's funeral. You got to get the mat out. Number one, you got to ask Jesus to truly forgive you of your sin. Number two, you got to forgive yourself. But number three, you just don't go to those places, man. You don't do those things. There are things you've got to separate. If you want something greater for your life, you've got to separate yourself from the turkey so you can fly with the eagles. And the only way to make that happen is hard decisions. There are Christians I won't hang with. There are preachers I won't hang with. They're foul. I'm talking like they only speak death and doubt and unbelief. They're sitting there and they're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching anti-gospel. I don't go hang out with them because they got the name Reverend. There are even family members you don't hang out with. You box your time. You give them 30 minutes and run, baby, run. But you've gotta guard yourself from putting yourself in that same environment that's going to make that sin so easy for you. You've got to protect yourself. Listen, you've got to protect yourself from sin. You've got to make sure that you are not putting yourself back in that place where you're going to be tempted the same way. That is our responsibility. Can I hear an amen? Listen, you don't want God to do that. You don't want God to do that. Because if God does that, you're telling him you wanted him to take people out. Out. So you be wise enough to step back. Have enough influence so you can share the gospel with them, but them not have enough influence that they can pollute you. Can I hear an amen? So this morning, I just want to encourage you. We all struggle. Nobody here is better than anybody else. I struggle too, man. I'm a guy just like you're a guy or a gal and my wife. And hi, Tara. Everybody's the same. Everybody has a sin they struggle with. Get up. Get up. Stop laying down. Get up and start running again. Get up and start believing again. Get up, shake yourself, believe in who God says you are, and put your face forward like flint and say, I'm not looking back. I can't change what I've done, but I choose to do what Paul declared. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. I press on. I can't change it, but I'm going forward. I'm going to press on. Get up. Shout it out loud. Get up. Today I want to encourage you. Some of you haven't gotten back up. You might come to church every week, but you still haven't gotten back up, man. You put a show on every time you come. God says, there's no need for a show. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got love. I've got all that you need. I've got forgiveness. I've got restoration. Oh, next week I'm going to preach. If you've fallen, can you get back where you were? And can you go beyond? Because I want you to know, God's never given up on you. Paul Musi, God has never given up on you. The very first time this guy came to this church, we were down in that lower building. He walked in, long hair, much younger. And he said, can I go upstairs and pray? I said, sure. Go upstairs and pray. The dude was getting stoned all the time. Am I lying? He was getting stoned all the time. I threw him under the bus, ran over him 3 times. But God changed his life. Don't give up. God will continue to change your life. No matter if it's a big thing or a small thing, what people know or don't know, don't give up. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. God will lift you up. God will uphold you with his right hand. God will speak life to you, encourage you, build you. This house will be people that will run with you. Listen, if they're tearing you down, let me know. I'll help them out the door. I've asked more than one person to leave this church, and I have no problem doing it. If they're going to tear somebody down and be somebody that's death and not life, I encourage them to go to a church that allows it. This one does not. We are a life-giving church. We believe in who you are and what God has for you. Don't you ever sacrifice it, either on your altar or on somebody else's. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I've gone long. I apologize. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. But I want you to know him. I want you to experience his forgiveness today. I want you to experience the new life he has for you today. I want you to see the great things that God has for you. It's time to get up. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you ever have. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? 5 young people have already given their hearts to the Lord on Thursday. Michelle Scardinia's son went to his elementary school, led 7 of his friends to Jesus during elementary school. Today, if you're here and you do not know Jesus, this is your moment. Get up. If you want Jesus in your life, slide your hand up. I'm going to ask this one more time. Get your hand up right now. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, I want you to know that this message is going to resonate in your spirit all week long. Because if you struggle or if you fall, if you falter, if you stumble, if you compromise, I want you to hear it. Forgetting those things which are behind, get up! Get up! The Holy Ghost shout in your ear, get up! Don't lay down. It's time to get up. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right here. I'm going to have you meet me right here with Mindy. Come right out of your chair. Can anybody give them a hand clap this morning as they come? Glory to God. Listen now. We love you as they come. If you need prayer for anything, right now is your moment, is your time. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. They'll call down heaven, break down hell. They'll kick down the very gates to bring the glory of God in your life. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Shout, get up! Come on, tell somebody else. You're going to come across someone this week who's walked away from God, who's walked away from God's house, and you're going to look them in the eyes and say, I can't hear you. You're going to tell them, get up! And if you got to grab them by the arm and bring them next week, listen, they can hear how not only they can get up, but they can go a whole nother length for the glory of God. Father, I speak blessing over this house and all that we do for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart.